Matthew 26, verses 17 to 19, the Last Supper. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus directed them and prepared the Passover."
Our next reading is Mark 14, 17 to 25. And I'm going to invite Sharon to come and read that for us.
When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me?" "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Our next reading is John 13, 3 to 17, and I'm going to ask Madeline to read that for us.
Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but you will understand. But later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Mark 14, 32 to 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he turned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for in 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more, you went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting enough? The hour is come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.
I have the task of doing the long talk that should be very short. Can I just apologize in advance because the dreaded lurgy has been trying to get to me, so I might have a bout of coughing. Some of the things I'm going to mention has miraculously already been mentioned earlier, and some of the things that people experienced during the washing of the feet, that also will come out. Let me begin with this little story. Tony was visiting his uncle in hospital, and Tony thought about how the family was always saying he is his uncle's favorite nephew, and recalled how the family would sort of amongst themselves spread these rumors that when uncle passes away, Tony will probably inherit big time. And all these thoughts were going through his head as he was standing at his uncle's bedside and the uncle's trying to have a conversation with him through his oxygen mask. And about 10 minutes into the piece, the uncle lifted his arm and pointed to a writing pad and a pen, and struggling to breathe weakly, he wrote something on the page and gave it to Tony. And Tony very respectfully took it and folded it and put it in his pocket. And a short while later, the uncle passed away. When Tony got home, saddened and so on, and feeling raw inside and all that sort of thing, he thought it better just see what uncle wrote on this piece of paper. It may have something to do with the will and all that. And he unfolded it and read, and he was gobsmacked because the uncle wrote, you are standing on my oxygen tube. The point of all that was, or is, Tony's mind was in a very, very different place compared to what the uncle was thinking and going through. Tony's mind was far away with other things, while his uncle was probably struggling with how he was feeling physically in terms of the illness. What Jesus was focusing on in these days, and by the way, this thing comes up on my phone every morning from some church, and it said Holy Wednesday. I thought, Holy Wednesday? I've never heard of that. And I thought, oh, darn, it's Holy Week. It is Holy Wednesday. So these days, when Jesus was still on earth, Jesus was focusing on prompting his close friends, the disciples. What Jesus was thinking and what Jesus had in mind was very, very far from what was going through their minds. And in Mark chapter 10, from verse 32, it goes like this. They were on their way, this is Jesus, going into Jerusalem, and the disciples are with him. They were on their way to Jerusalem, going up to Jerusalem, and one theologian emphasizes the up because he says one does walk up to Jerusalem. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was leading the way. That's what we read in the Bible. Jesus was leading the way. But in terms of Jesus leading the way, there was much more to it than Jesus leading. Because evidently, the disciples sensed and saw the intensity in Jesus, such as they've never seen before. A certain determination, courage, that frightened the disciples. Remember those who were here the other Sunday? Something was said about the word courage, what it means. And I went to the good old Oxford Dictionary, and it says this about courage. It's a quality of spirit that enables you to face danger or pain without showing fear. But in this case, I think, in terms of where Jesus was leading, there was a mixture of fear in all of them with determination. Consternation, one says. And in that chapter, verse 32, it goes, the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. William Barclay puts it this way in terms of the passage, this walk into Jerusalem. He writes, well, a different version to the Bible, but the same thing. They were on the road, on their way up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were in a state of astonished bewilderment. And as they followed him, they were afraid. I wonder what they saw in Jesus. But somehow something else came to mind as I was trying to think what they might have observed. And it reminds me, can you believe it? It reminded me of when Jesus said, this is the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I thought maybe this is what Jesus is doing. He was following what the Father had instructed him to do, heart, soul, mind, strength. Now imagine seeing that in a person, that kind of ultra-active commitment in a person. No wonder his close friends, the disciples, were stunned. And in that bewildering moment, Jesus stops and does a very caring thing, because obviously it picked up that the disciples were rather afraid. And Jesus again explains to them what he had already explained to them two times before. The first time in Mark chapter 8, 31, he told them of the horrible ordeal waiting for him in Jerusalem. And of course, Peter quickly said something like, no, cut that out. Don't talk like that. That's never going to happen to you. Peter rebuked Jesus. And I thought, seeing that English is not my first language, let me look up again what the word rebuke means in terms of the dictionary. And rebuke, they say, is using strong words to reprimand a person. Very sharp words. And in terms of this was never going to happen to you, what Peter had in his mind, in his thoughts, and I think Peter seems to be the self-appointed spokesman for all the disciples. I don't know if they had the similar feelings. What Peter had in mind was very different to what Jesus was handling in his own mind. But it also says, that same passage, Jesus rebuked Peter with very, very strong words as well. Now, as they were walking, imagine almost a steady march, they stop. Jesus stops them, takes them aside, and again, for the third time, Jesus tells them the terrible things waiting for him in Jerusalem. That's now Mark chapter 10, verses 33 to 34. But they still struggle to get in their minds, to get in their whole understanding, all this business about Jesus being hanged and bashed before that and tortured and arrested, then rising again. I mean, who'd ever heard about rising again? What is he talking about? It does not make sense. Later, in another scene, when Jesus is arrested, Peter can't take it anymore. So he grabs his sword and he cuts off, or he strikes at the servant of the high priest, and he cuts off his ear. And Jesus strongly, the Bible says, commands Peter, put your sword away. I have to go through this as the Father planned for me to go through. Luke says, Jesus touched the man's ear and instantly healed it. And when I listened to someone else telling this, they said, just a sort of an ordinary thing. Jesus touched the ear and healed it. But Luke also says that some of the other disciples also had swords. And Jesus told them to put their swords away. They had the wrong idea. So there's something very demanding in this task that Jesus faces. There's stress, there's the emotions, there's tears. With all that in mind, let's go back, I suppose, to the last wishes of Jesus, kind of a tell and show, the type that we did this evening. Jesus teaching in a practical way in that room. Now, in terms of this foot washing, you're probably not going to believe me when I say Jerusalem reminds me of Cape Town. Why? What I read this past week, certain thing that I've never come across before about this situation. It says there that Jerusalem and surrounds were very sandy, thick, sandy place. Now, when I drove from my birth city, Port Elizabeth, in my little Peugeot 203, if you want to know that, when we reached Cape Town, and my wife always, she's from Cape Town born, and she always has a giggle at my stupidity. When we were driving into Cape Town, I saw all the sea sand, and I thought we might be near the ocean, probably near the sea. And we drove, no sea, no beach. And then I realized that Cape Town, almost the whole of Cape Town, you see sea sand all over the place because it's a peninsula. I know that. Then I looked up the word and then discovered a peninsula is like an island jutting out from land. It fastened to a piece of land, but jutting out into the sea. So it is like an island, sand all over the place. And evidently, that's what Jerusalem was like, sand all over the place. And in our little group there, we mentioned sandals earlier. People only wore sandals. So on a nice sunny day, you walk into Jerusalem or through Jerusalem, your feet gets dirty, sandy in dry weather, and in wet weather, dirty, muddy feet. So most homes will have at the front door pots of water, drying cloths, and a young slave servant to wash your feet before you enter. This job was done by the lowliest of the low. In fact, and this I didn't know, only picked it up in digging into this passage. In fact, this job was so despicable that Jewish slaves were exempted from washing feet. They didn't have to do it. And then there's a couple of other things, and I think some of it surfaced this evening. One commentary says that in this case, someone must have forgotten to provide the dish, the water, the drying cloths at the front door. They didn't put it out. Another interpretation says the foot washing stuff were at the front door where the friends washed one another's feet. And I experienced a little bit of that in our group. I was one of the culprits. We didn't argue, but in terms of the disciples, they had had a quarrel on the way there. So they were not going to wash one another's feet. I refuse to wash. And another interpretation said, Jesus was aware of this. Jesus was aware that they refused to do this menial task for one another, for their friends. Another interpretation, this is the last one, it said that during the meal, a slave would quietly come up behind people or those sitting at dinner table and wash everyone's feet. I'd never heard of that, but that's what it says. Now, the question, did the disciples ever argue amongst themselves? The answer, yes, they did, a good couple of times. A more sensible version suggests Jesus knew they'd been quarreling. And this was Jesus' last chance before he gets arrested and taken away. Jesus' last chance to point them in a more positive direction and attitude. Jesus had heard about their quarrels, about who was the greatest among them. Some wanted special places. So Jesus' final practical teaching comes in when he took off his outer garment, equipped himself with a towel, kneeled in front of each one of the disciples and washed their feet, and stopped longer in front of Peter because Peter objected. So Jesus dealt with that, and then Jesus carried on washing more feet. The highly respected teacher and master went down on his knees to be servant to his friends, prompting his friends to be servant leaders or leaders who serve. To conclude, I came across a couple of wonderful sentences in a couple of books that I'm working through. I don't know why, but it's called The Gospel for Kids, How to Do a Children's Little Story in Church. And this particular one had these words: God loves us so much that he asked Jesus to live with us, to show us a new way to live, and to make it possible for us to live his new way. May the Lord bless the little bit of breaking open of his word, that we may indeed follow that new way that Christ taught us to live with others.
So in a moment, we're going to have our final reading. And what we do on Maundy Thursday is after that reading, which is about Jesus's arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, we depart in silence. Because when Jesus was arrested, the disciples scattered and they were confused and they were frightened. And then tomorrow we come to come here at 9 a.m. for our Good Friday service, where we focus on Jesus's crucifixion. And it's very easy to go straight to Easter Sunday and have a big celebration, but we need to know, you know, the magnitude of what Jesus has done. In order to experience the full joy of Easter Sunday, we need to pass through that pain and the heartache of the disciples scattering and then Jesus being arrested and put on trial and crucified. And that's what we'll be focusing on tomorrow before our huge celebration on Easter Sunday. So I'll give the final reading, which is Luke 22, 47b to 53. And we'll be back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. The man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns."